as I said, organizational historical data with the learning of the previous projects. Let's also look at the other aspect of WBS and the list of activities that a WBS can give. The approach of creating a WBS is three types. One is the top-down approach, so you begin with a bigger chunk and you go down to the smallest one, or you begin with the smallest one and come to the bigger chunk, so which is also called as the organizational specific guidelines. The use of WBS template, very, very important. What is your template? Because that template has to be circulated across the project and all the stakeholders should know about it. Of course, up to a certain limit where whoever is required for that information should know that information about the project. So important and integral aspect is there are three types. One is a top-down, the other is the use of templates, and the third is, of course, use of the organizational specific guidelines. The bottom-up approach is used for integration of work packages. The WBS structure can be represented in different ways. Typical of these structures are the product and project deliverables of the bottom level, the project lifecycle execution phase of the next upper level, and so on. So I'm going to share a figure with you the next slide, and then we'll talk about it. Final project deliverables from top level, project deliverables at the next lower level, and so on. So this is the next part of it. WBS with a subcontracted component, the subcontractor will develop a WBS of subcontracted work and is integrated with the main project of WBS. So I'm going to take you through this figure, and this figure is a figure 10.2. As I said, sample WBS decomposed down through work packages. So let's look at this. 1.1.1.2 is a component. So all these components are then will segregate into one work package. Okay, then we move on to the other components of it. We'll be talking about how, you know, these work packages are divided. So this is the management plan. Then we have needs, standards, systems, and projects. So in needs, the current needs, the required needs, the alternative developments, the system requirements, the components, the gaps, and the analysis around it. And then, so this figure completely tells about how the need has been broken into different structures. Let's move on to the other aspect of it, the other aspect of project planning, where we're talking about MRP software. So how this is the technological requirement and how scheduling, project planning and scheduling is done. So let's look at this. Project management phase. In project management phase, I have software, meeting and training programs to be conducted. In project requirement phase, I need the software, I need the report and a training program. Project detail phase or design phase, I need a software, I need a report, a training program. Construction phase, I require a software, reports and training program. And integration and testing phase, a software, report and a training program. Training program becomes an integral aspect of it, because my team members in the project need to be updated with how the software has to be used. WBS representation organized by phases. So this is phase-wise distribution. If you look at it, this is complete phase-wise. So management is one phase, requirement is one phase, design is one phase, construction is one phase, and integration is one phase. Mostly in these kind of phase-wise work, it will not be parallel. It would be done from once the design is over, then it. So it is an incremental process and not an agile format of working. Let's look at the other aspect of it, which talks about a car series. I'm talking about a car series when I have to have a project management plan, systems for it, training, equipments, facilities, services for it, technical orders, engineering orders and management data, road vehicle if it is chassis, engines, communication and control system, steering control system, accident control system, support equipment would be at factory level, dealer level and depot level, facilities would be office and maybe the mainstream facilities. Test and conclusion evaluation would be mock tests that would be run, operation tests that would be run, proto tests that will be run, final test. So this is for a car kind of for manufacturing a workaround structure that's been created. So let's look at how do you create a technique. What are the techniques of creating? So I'll read through the slide and then help you understand it. Decomposition, the most common technique used in creating a WBS. Decomposition is higher level WBS requirement subdivided into work for each of the deliverables. subcomponents into its most manageable and verifiable product. The verification indicates the, a year to go through the feasibility of estimating the cost and duration for the task activity. The decomposition of the lowest level must be ensured for inclusion of the activities, tasks that are necessary for the completion of the higher levels deliverables. This check and chain shall include all the levels. And what are those levels? Let's have a look at this. The number of decomposition levels should be decided by the complexity of the deliverables of each level. As the decomposition levels are increased to more and more detail, the ability to plan, manage and control is enhanced. So the more I have the details about the attributes and the tasks, the ability of my me managing and controlling that is much higher. Enhanced, but the time, but same time, excessive decompositions can lead to non-value-adding management efforts. So this, from my terminology, is it's also called as the analysis by paralysis or paralysis by analysis. So don't get paralyzed by your by the analysis and don't break it such to such small level that it becomes unnecessary work for a lot of people. Insufficient use of resources, decreased efficiency in performing work, and difficulty in data aggregation. Consider these two factors contradicting each other at the optimum level of decomposition. Must be decided to suit the project under execution. So very critically, you should be able to decide that. Project planning process. Create a task activity list and work breakdown structure, WBS. Technique of creating WBS is decomposition of a work project work into work packages. Generally, involves the following activities in brief. Identifying and analyzing the deliverables are related, which means as if a project manager, if I'm looking at it, performing a task of logistics. So I will identify and analyze the deliverables that the logistics has to provide in that project and what is the related work. So related work could be if the logistic team doesn't get the material from the delivery team or from the operations team, then it will get delayed, or if they get a little early, then it be a little lead into it. If the logistic team has a constraint of transportation, then it will. So these are related breakdowns or related deliverables that will affect positively or negatively the logistics team. So structure and organizing organizing a WBS. Decomposition of upper WBS levels into lower levels, detailed components, and developing and assigning identification code. Now, that's a very integral part. Why do I need to have an identification code? Let's, in today's projects, when projects are actually done virtual, you know, these are virtual projects that you do. So, typically in an IT scenario, typically in a manufacturing or an automobile scenario, not everything is assembled at the same place. Or for software, teams today are placed across the globe. If I do not have unique identification numbers for every task that is getting performed under every WBSS, it will be very difficult for me to go back and check where the mistake has happened or what has enhanced the entire project. So, integral, very very integral that I have a unique code for every task that has been performed. These could be alphanumeric, these could be only numeric codes, and it could be like A.1.2.3 or A.1.1.1. So it could be or 1.1.1.2. So that could be a new, kind of a unique number that we can have there. Developing and assigning unique codes is what we just spoke about. Verifying the degree of decomposition of deliverables is very, very important. In case of a long duration project, it may not be possible to decompose the deliverables. Subcomponents that will be accomplished in a later phase of a project. In such cases, the project planning team usually waits until the deliverables are directly defined and agreed upon. This is referred in a rolling wave plan, and we've spoken about rolling wave plan, that it's an incremental way of planning. The total of the work from lowest level should be rolled up to cover the 100% of the work. Expert judgment often used to analyze the variable information needed for decomposition and create an effective WBS. Such judgments are applied to the technical details of the project scope and are used to reconcile different positions. Expert judgments generally are people or individuals who have been into these kind of projects, or consultants, subject matter experts, and these are the expert judgments that you can take while working around. How do you finalize a WBS? Let's have a look at this. I'll read through and then give you an example around it. Finalizing a WBS is an assignment that deals with the considerations such as the deletion of non-value-added efforts, reduction in activity duration due to excessive detailing, which is elaborated above. Another important aspect which must be taken into consideration is interdependency of work packages and the constraints created. As far as possible, the number of constraints shall be created is minimum. The project manager, in collaboration with the project team, shall determine the final decomposition of a project scope into the discrete work packages that will be used to effectively manage the project. So unless your work team, project team, is completely confident about the work packages that have been created, and they have to, at the end of the day, you can create a plan, but they have to execute that plan. So unless they are comfortable with those work packages, try staying away from creating a too auspicious or too aspirated work package or a WBS. Let's have a look at the other aspect of it while we created the project baseline or the scope. A project scope baseline is the component of overall project management plan and output of a WBS creation. It includes approved version of the scope statement, because now I'm clearly aware of about what are the deliverables, what are the assumptions that I've taken, how much time it's going to take, and constraints around it. So scope statement has project scope is referred earlier, includes project scope, project major deliverables, assumptions, and constraints. Let's look at the other aspect of it, which talks about WBS. As elaborated, WBS is the hierarchical decomposition of a total scope of the work to accomplish the project objectives and create the requirement deliverables. WBS dictionary is also created, which means the WBS dictionary is a document that provides detailed deliverables, activities, and scheduling information about each component of WBS. It also supports the way the WBS and contents major information component as follows. What are those? Let's look at this. It has a code of account identifier, which is the unique code that we spoke about. Then we have description of the work. Then we have assumptions and constraints of that work, responsibility organization, schedule milestones, associated schedule milestones, resources required, cost estimate, quality requirements, acceptance criteria, technical references, and agreement information. The revised requirement documentation is another output of a WBS creation. These are updated to include the approval changes from the changes after WBS creation. Let's have a look at the step two that we're going to talk about. The step two is about estimate the resource required for the task activity. Now, this is types and quantities of resources. The resource estimation refers, if I'm reading it through the slide now, the resource estimation refers to the process of estimating the time and quantity of resources such as material, human equipments, suppliers, consultants, service providers, subcontractors, and etc. to perform each activity. So this is more related to human intervention. The resources identified to turn use of most accurate cost and duration estimates. The resource estimate is closely associated and coordinated with cost estimates, since the local approval code, local statutory and regulatory requirements, tax structure, etc. may vary from place to place. Similarly, the manufacturing and the assembling technique processes, environmental norms will vary from product to product. The project team may not be familiar with all of them. In such cases, additional cost may be required to acquire a requisite knowledge or information by appointing, hiring a consultant, providing training to the project team members. For example, for a construction project, the project team member may not be familiar with the local building approval codes. So in Mumbai, if we talk about the MMRDA takes care of all your requirements in terms of constructions, or it's also called as the MHADA that takes care of the constructions. So not necessary that the project manager who's just come in, or the project team member who's actually working on an elite project by a builder is aware about the local codes. So your team needs to be trained about it, and or you need to hire a consultant who's locally aware about all these information. Step two of project planning process is the inputs required for the resources. A resource estimation will be similar to those of the cost estimation and few changes. These inputs would have schedule management plan, will have activity management plan, will have activity lists, activity attributes, there's the resource calendars, the risk register, activity cost estimates, resource allocation, organizational policies and procedures, historical information of similar work on previous projects. Let's look at the step two, and activity three of this is called alternative analysis or use of standard data. So what does it mean, alternative analysis? The alternatives possible for resources are analyzed to use the most suitable and the best suited for it. So this is where my benchmarking starts happening. This is where I decide whether I have to outsource, whether I have to do it inside, whether I have to build the skill set of my project team. This is where the alternative resource analysis happen. Primer phase from practical point of view done to save costs. Use a standard information or standard data is organizing the standard norms of cost. If you remember, I gave you an example in earlier chapters where we said that if I have a budget of say 10,000 rupees, I need to find a vendor who's doing my job in 10,000 rupees, because that's a policy that's been set by my organization for some travel. So the next is, of course, the bottom-up estimation. Bottom-up estimation is if you realize the WBS has now got created, and now you have to have an estimation for every activity that's happening. So I will have the last work packages that I have. I quantify them into money, and then tell, okay, this work package is going to take this much of time and money, and then I start moving up with every activity and trying to come out with a budget. So this method decomposes the activity at the bottom level. The resources of each activity are estimated, and then to estimate the aggregate, the cumulative resource estimation, the activity may or may not be dependent. Project management software is a beautiful way of using it. As I said, I've been talking about MS Projects and Primavera to be used for these purposes. Many softwares have capability to plan and organize and manage resource pool and develop resource estimates. Depending on the version, sophisticated levels of softwares, resource background structures, resource availability, resource data or rates, resource calendar can be defined by optimizing the resource utilization. Now, this is something that you can use in your Primavera, as software as well. Let's look at some more things. Activity resource estimation outputs. Activity resource requirements is basically the requirements are in turn used to estimate the aggregate requirement of each work package for each work period. Rather, the amount of details description of the source requirement will depend on application area. The documentation of resource requirement may include the basic of estimation assumptions made available and in quantity. So there's no difference around this, but the difference around this is we understand that while we are working around it, we will have a activity resource requirement. So it could be resources in terms of my material, it could be resources in terms of my human intervention, and that will be quantified and qualified based on my work. So this is how my activity resource requirement actually works in. Then we have a resource breakdown structure. We've spoken much about it in terms of our RBS. The resource could be anything. It could, a human being is also a resource, and of course my machines and suppliers are also my resource. So breakdown structure is a hierarchical representation of a structure and types. For example, resource categories could be labor, material, equipment, supplies, whereas the examples of resource type will include the skill level, grade level, etc. The RBS is using for organizing and reporting project schedules data with information about the resource utilization. My updated project document, now that's the final thing that we would have. It would be my document that's updated completely, which has my WBS, which has my cost estimations, which has the cost flow, cash flow, which also has my RBS, which is a resource breakdown structure. Now this is how we would move ahead to the next slide. The next slide is step 3 and we would talk about it. So we have the next thing that's coming up, and that's the next thing is called as the estimate of task or activity duration. Ideally, what helps us in this, it comes out with duration that is required to complete a given task. So that is the number that we achieved out of this. So let's look at this as well. I'll read through the slide and then explain you. Activity duration estimation is the process that deals with the process of estimating the work period needed to complete individual activities with estimated resources to it. The prime objective of this process is to provide the amount of time required for completion of each activity. For developing the process schedule, all right, while estimating the activity duration, information on the scope of the work of the activity, required resources type, estimated resources quantities, and resource calendar is used. So what do I require? I require what is the scope of that activity? I require the ability of my resource, of course, which is the required source type, estimated quantity that I require around it, and resource calendar, whether the resource is available or no. The input for estimation activity duration are generated from individuals or from groups or from the work packages that I have decided earlier on by the project team. That is most familiar with the nature of work in the specific activity. The duration estimates are progressively elaborated on the basis of availability and quality of the input data. There is a new word that's there on the screen. If I would want to draw your attention, it is called progressive elaborated. What do I mean by progressive elaborated? It's a progressive activity. It's an activity that I have. Incremental in nature. So every time I have a progressive elaboration, which means like I'm unfolding every 100 meters. That's how I generally define it. So it is something that I will do or I will have during my process where the project is unknown to me at lot point in time. Let's also read the next slide that's coming up. The next slide that we have is the example, the duration estimate. Estimates can be improved as more detailed and precise data about the project, engineering and design work is made available. All data and assumptions that support duration estimation are documented for each activity during estimate. The input used for estimating activity duration are same as one used for resource estimation. In addition to these, the output of resource estimation will be considered as inputs of the activity duration. Very, very important when I talk about activity duration estimation. Let's look at some other step on step 3, which is planning and project planning process. The tools and techniques for estimating activity duration is basically what are the tools and techniques that I have to estimate a duration of a particular activity. I have analogous method, I have parametric method, I have 3-point estimation, I have estimation with reverse analysis, estimation with group discussion making technique. So let's go step by step to each. All about techniques are elaborated in details in chapter 9 in the context of cost estimation. If you realize that everything that we've done is already been done in chapter 9, similar explanation methodologies is applicable for every activity or duration estimate. The advantages or disadvantages, such as one listed below, shall remain the same extent of estimation of activity duration also. So let's look at this. What is it? Less cost of estimation for analogous estimation. So good reliability of analogous estimation for the project similar nature. So it's because I have some historical data to it. Dependency and parametric estimation on the number of variables used and the quality of previous data for accuracy. Very, very important when I'm using a parametric information. Let's look at activity duration estimates. there are quantitative assessments of likely numbers of time period that are required to complete an activity. So what's the likelihood of the of completing that activity? So if you remember, I give you a very simple example of making tea at home. What is the likely time to complete that? So we generally say, give me 5 minutes and I'll be able to complete. Complete it, which is the estimate that I'm giving, or the quantifiable estimate that I'm giving of completing the task. Activity duration estimates may include some indications in the range of possible areas. For example, 3 weeks plus minus 3 weeks indicates the activity will take place minimum in 15 days and maximum in 21 days. So minimum I will require 15 days and maximum I will require 21 days, considering a 6 days working week. 10% probability of exceeding 3 weeks indicates that there is a high possibility or probability of 90% of completing the work within 3 weeks. So that's how we start defining every activity. Project document updates. The project documents document that may need updating, including but will not be limited to, are activity attributes and assumptions made in developing various activities duration estimates, such as skill levels, such as availability of the resources, such as basis will be ideally the basis of the estimates. Step 4 of planning goes on sequencing. Now that I have identified the resources, I have quantified the resources, I have looked at the time that they will take to complete, I now need to go and sequence the resourcing. So sequencing activities is the process of arranging them in logical sequence of work to achieve maximum efficiency with a pre-assigned resource. So let's look at what's written on the chart. It says start of each activity milestone must be connected to the finish of at least one predecessor. If you remember, I spoke about successor and predecessor. Successor, in layman term, I am the successor of my father. My son is going to be my predecessor. Okay, so my son says, I am my father's successor, and the father says that my son is my predecessor. So he's going to be the next generation that I have. So start of each activity milestone must connected to the finish of at least one predecessor. Activity milestone finish finish of each activity milestone must be connected to the start of at least one successor. This requirement is not applicable for the first and the last activity or the milestone. So what are the and what are the inputs that I require to create a activity result is this, you know. So I need to have my execution, or rather schedule management plan. I need to have my activity list. What are the laundry list of my activities that I have? What are the attributes, which is definitions of those activities that I wanted to complete? What is milestone list? So how do I define milestones in my project? What is the project scope statement? When I say what is a project scope statement, I'm talking about whether it is more from related to related to anything that is there. I've decided right at the beginning of the project. What's that scope statement? I will need my PMIS, which is Project Management Information Software. I need organizational policies and procedures. I need schedule methodology tools and templates. One that we're talking about as MS projects, historical data of similar projects, and of course, if there is anything that is related to government standards, is what I will require to prepare my logical sequence of my project activities. Let's have a look at step 4. Now I have a sequence of my activities. I'm looking at what are the tools that I will use to create sequencing. It's a precedence diagram, dependency diagram, and lead and lag diagram. So let's have a look at what is a precedence diagram. Precedence diagram, PDM technique, is used for constructing a schedule model. Now here are the activities represented by nodes and are graphically linked to one or more logical relationship to indicate the sequence in which the activities are performed. In next slide, of course, we'll have a look. I'll read the slide first and then show you the slide of PDM graph. So PDM includes 4 type of dependencies, logical relationships. Successor activities is dependent activity that logical comes after the predecessor.